Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you on this Monday afternoon. Landon Schmidt producing. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours and a lot to cover after a busy weekend in the sports world. It was a lot of playoff action as the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs both got started. We had the final round of the play-in Friday night. Not a great night for the Grizzlies as they were hoping for an Orlando loss and or a Phoenix loss to get another lottery pick. Both those teams ended up winning their play-in game. We will find out at some point this afternoon where that Grizzlies second first-round pick will be in the upcoming draft, so we'll certainly have news about that hopefully over the next 3 hours. We'll talk a lot of NBA playoffs. We'll talk a little NHL playoffs. Not as much, certainly. We'll also talk a lot of Major League Baseball from the weekend, some basketball, some football, a little bit of everything over these next 3 hours. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well in news for the Grizzlies, pertaining to the Grizzlies, with some people staying in the draft and also with Orlando advancing into the playoff portion. We now know where about where the Grizzlies will be drafting, and also for the Tigers. And it appears to me, Brian, that the bigger teams in college basketball, the Power Four teams, all are trying to get bigger with bigger players.
Yeah, no, it seems like it. And, you're seeing a lot of movement. And coming out just now as we start the show, it's being reported by Matt Zenitz over at CBS Sports that Aaron Bradshaw going to enter the transfer portal. So we've been waiting for a decision from Aaron Bradshaw, but now that news just now coming down on social media that Aaron Bradshaw will enter the transfer portal. I know Jason Munns has been all over this story for a while, kind of logging how it's been back and forth. It started before the transfer portal opened when there was that deadline. It looked like Aaron Bradshaw, I think Jason Munns called it a near lock to return to Memphis. Then it changed and it seemed like Aaron Bradshaw was going to enter the portal, and then after the portal opened he never entered, and then it felt like maybe some momentum for him to return to Memphis. But now just a couple minutes ago being reported Aaron Bradshaw will enter the transfer portal, and we'll see now what Memphis does as they've got a couple of visitors coming in, one on campus today, another going to be on campus tomorrow. We'll see if they can lock up a couple more commitments this week.
Is that the last player that we now know his decision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the last one.
From the ones that were all invited back.
So, that's right.
So what was the hit rate on all invited back? How many took the offer and stayed, and how many left?
So two took the offer to stay. Julius Thedford, William Wharton, both back. Now, that is just a commitment. Something could happen. Something crazy could happen over the next, 24 hours before the transfer portal ultimately closes, but it looks like those two will be back. That means six out of those eight entered the transfer portal and out there looking for a new home with the addition now of Aaron Bradshaw.
And that doesn't alarm or bother me whatsoever, because, Brian, you'll remember when we were, when all three of us were kind of doing the keep, they can go, badly want to keep, we were ranking it, and I said about all eight.
Mm-hmm.
There's the door.
Yeah.
I can go 13 and 19 without you.
Sure. And so, you've got two back, which
might do that, might do better.
Sure. Yeah.
But I can do at least that with or without you, because
sure.
I just did it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think, having a little bit of continuity is important. And so, bringing back at least two guys that, know the system that Penny Hardaway wants to run and kind of what he wants from his players, I think will be nice. I think, bringing Aaron Bradshaw back, if he had decided to come back, would have been nice. I don't think you're losing a ton with him going out. Now, you will have to replace that position and bring in some bigs, because we've seen the guys that they brought in, have been, lengthy guys, guys that can, 6'7", 6'9", type of guys, but neither of the forwards that they brought in so far are kind of those big men, in the paint type of guys. So they'll have to go out there and get some of those guys in. So obviously a lot to do for this Tigers team before next season.
It's what I said about on senior night. It might have sounded a little crude and a whole lot crass, and I really don't care. They should have had a group picture, and the headline would have been, y'all almost got Penny Hardaway fired if they could have found found the money for him, y'all would have. So no nostalgia for me whatsoever about any of them, and not that much even about the two that are coming back. But I'll play along and sure hope that it does provide some continuity and help, maybe a cornerstone for next year with an improved team. We do know this. Everybody agreed there were three big, really four, because I think Bradshaw's return was probably fourth on this list. There were four big player acquisitions of the offseason. P.J. Haggerty one, D.J. Wagner two, and Rowan Brumbaugh three. And then I think a distant fourth was the return of Bradshaw. Is that, you think that's correct in lumping him in there or not?
I'd say so. I think people would have liked to have him back. He's certainly not in that grouping, but I do think there were a lot of people that would have liked to have Aaron Bradshaw back.
But it's a swing and a miss on all four, or three, or however you want to do it. And we talked to person after person in our conversations about it. I think we all thought at least one of those three of in the portal, PJ, DJ, or Brumbaugh, the best case scenario, two, and really get lucky and get three, and then the clean sweep of none.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a long shot on all three of them. I thought you might have a chance with DJ Wagner, but it really never felt like much came of that. You at least saw with Rowan Brumbaugh, people listing teams that were interested in him, and some people saying that there was a little bit of interest on both sides between Brumbaugh and Memphis. Kind of same thing with PJ Haggerty. There were reports out there that Memphis was certainly interested in him, and maybe a little initial interest of some conversations between Haggerty and Memphis for a return, but. With DJ Wagner, really throughout his entire time in the transfer portal, there was not much reported about teams interested in him and kind of what he was kind of looking for out of the portal. There was obviously the reports of him doing a couple of visits, but he lands at Maryland, and then last night the news about Rowan Brumbaugh landing at SMU. It always felt like Rowan Brumbaugh would try to take that step up to a power conference team, and landing at SMU I think is a nice fit, and we'll be excited to see what he can do down in Dallas next season. It hurts. Kind of going in, it felt like those were the big three for the fan base. If you can get one of those three guys in, that would be huge. You come out of it getting none of the three. So it's definitely interesting.
I always had, and not based on a lot, but on a little, I always had suspicion that Brumbaugh would end up committing and going to Alabama, where the green light would just be on all the time. Because Alabama, they make no pretense at all around it. They want to do two things: shoot layups or dunks or threes, and that's kind of his style and his game. We're not much for a 15-foot jump shooter these days. PJ Haggerty, we've just all been through enough with him. And on DJ Wagner, I never, and I know a lot of fans did and a lot of people were hoping, but I never thought any Tiger loyalty that they could tap into there. Arkansas did not fight at all to keep him. Mm-hmm. His granddad's alma mater, Louisville, didn't fight at all hard to want him. And Kentucky, where he had been, and a little bit of conversation about he might go back there, they didn't want that. And Kentucky's really in full scramble and struggling out there. They didn't want him. It did surprise me about Maryland. But why did people think, his dad played here. I looked it up. He appeared in 36 games for the Tigers 1 year, 36 games, 24 years ago. Complete different coaching staff, complete different Memphis Tigers program as to now. So why would people even think that some type of blue and gray loyalty was going to kick in at the Wagner house?
Well, I think for me, and I can really only speak for myself of kind of the thought process. And like I said, I didn't think there was a great chance out of the three. I thought he would have been the best chance. It was mainly due to Penny Hardaway recruited him out of high school, so there was already a connection there between Coach Hardaway and him. And with Aaron Bradshaw, kind of the unknown of would he return or would he enter the portal. That's a guy who played with him in high school, so I thought maybe there could be a connection there where if DJ Wagner showed some interest in Memphis, maybe Aaron Bradshaw doing some recruiting to get him to Memphis, and then Aaron Bradshaw sticking around, that maybe that would play a factor in it. But yeah, you know, it was, you know, there's always that thought when you have a family member, certainly a father that played at any school, you know, you feel like it, you know, can give you kind of that upper hand. But, you know, you're right, not a lot of time spent here, you know, not a lot of games logged for him. And so now he's going to land at Maryland, and we'll see what he can do for Buzz Williams. But, you know, I thought it would have been a nice piece at Memphis to come in, and, you know, felt like he would really be able to dominate the conference and, you know, be a good piece for this Tiger team. But now he's off to Maryland.
Probably more brand Tiger U of M loyalty at a OG Barkley from Camden than it was Wani.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. So, you know, it is a swing and a miss. You know, you mentioned Rowan Brumbaugh landing at SMU. I'm curious if he's from Washington, D.C. I wonder if he has any ties to the state of Texas, because he was at Texas out of high school, now going back to SMU. So interesting there, if there is a some sort of Texas tie with him. But you know, I didn't realize
Texas. I thought Georgetown was first stop.
I think it was either Texas, then Georgetown, or Georgetown, then Texas. He spent a year, I think it was his freshman year at Texas before going
for
to Georgetown.
Beard or for?
I don't know. I don't, let's see, 23, 24, so I don't know.
No, that would
been,
be.
Before that was, yeah, I don't know who was the coach back then. And what?
No, it would have been Beard's assistant took over.
Yeah, Rodney Terry. So he was there the 1 year with Rodney.
RT, as they all call.
I love that. I love that. So yeah, we'll see what Memphis does. You know, I mentioned Tylik Weeks is on campus right now. We'll see what if they can land a commitment from him before he gets off campus. That's a guy that, you know, averaged nearly 20 points last year at Southern Miss. I think would be a nice addition, a forward that likes to get to the rim. And then tomorrow, Cornelius Williams, who was at North Alabama the last 2 years, a guy that I love, is going to be on campus tomorrow. So I think would
and
be a
nobody
huge
knows North Alabama
right.
better than you.
That's right. I enjoy watching some North Alabama basketball, so I would love that addition. I think he's a great player. More of kind of that interior piece, can grab a lot of rebounds, second chance points type of guy. So would love for Memphis to wrap him up, but you know it looks like, you know, they're trying to kind of move. It felt like at first they were after a lot of guards. Now it feels like maybe shifting gears, especially it seems like, you know, probably knowing this Aaron Bradshaw news was coming, you know, more of the front court guys that can be real interior pieces.
Again, not trying to be mean, not trying to be crude or crass or cold-hearted, Brian, it just appears to me, and it just may be the way of the world. It may be exactly where this program, where it is not only right now, but in coming off of that 13-19, it looks to me like the Tigers are shopping at the discount aisle.
Well, I've seen people say that, and I personally don't like that type of language around it, because I think these are good players. You know, that there are good programs that are low major, mid major. They play really, really good basketball, and so, you know, you're right. It's just kind of the way that college athletics is right now. You know, it is a money game. It's hard to go out there and land these guys that are at power programs that are entering the transfer portal, because they've been paid this amount of money and they want this amount of money. You know, there was the story, you know, even if some of these mid-major guys, Kobe Garland, I think is his name, who was set to have a visit with Memphis, and then that got canceled. He ended up visiting Georgetown, I think visited Oregon as well. And there was a quote that Jason Munns had where his father said something of the sorts of, you know, if they can bring a better offer, then we'll reconsider them or something. Yeah, that's not the direct quote, but something along those lines. It's a money game now, and so I think you can build great rosters with the type of players that Memphis has targeted and some of those teams that these players are coming from. But you have to go out there and really figure out who are the good players,
yeah,
who are the not so great players. The
it's
talent evaluation is got to be top tier, and you know, we'll see if this Memphis staff can do that.
It's a real jigsaw puzzle, and you know, last year did have Doug McDaniel in it. Mm-hmm. So far this year, I haven't seen that. A lot of these bios and profiles, if you cover up names and schools, it looks a lot like last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And so, you know, I think
we saw what we got out of last
sure
year.
Sure. And, you know, it can be very similar to that. It can be very different from that. You know, we'll see what these guys can bring to the table. You know, I think the biggest difference right now is you're seeing A couple of the guys that they've already brought in can be, you know, 3-point shooters. A couple of them can score off the dribble, and those were issues that this Memphis team last year really struggled with. And so, you know, to me, it feels like, you know, Penny Hardaway went out there and he wanted to target a couple things. The two biggest, it feels like he wants length and he wants guys that can score. And it feels like he's starting to bring some of those guys in. Now it feels like he's transitioning to more front court pieces, and we'll see if he can land a couple commitments over the next couple of days. And if these guys mesh and turn into a nice team in the American. But we'll see what he can do over this next week. But we've got a busy show today, so let me set it up before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, we'll talk the NBA playoffs. It got kicked off on Saturday with round one action. We'll go all the way back to Friday night when we had the final night of the play-in. The Magic with the win at home against the Hornets, and the Suns with the home win over the Warriors. Both those teams sliding into the 8 seed for their conference. And the Magic turned that victory into a round one win over the number one seed Pistons out of the East. So a lot to talk about with the NBA playoffs. We'll do that in our next segment. 3:45, we'll talk some Major League Baseball. We already have one final on the day as the Boston Red Sox and the Detroit Tigers were in action early. A 10 a.m. first pitch. Red Sox with an 8-6 win over the Tigers, but we'll talk a little bit about that game, a little bit about the slate today, but we'll talk a lot of the action from the weekend. 4 o'clock, David Cobb from CBS Sports. He'll join us. We'll talk college football and college basketball. We'll get his thoughts on what Penny Hardaway is doing in the transfer portal, some of the other transfer portal news and notes from around college basketball, including the massive news. Braylon Mullins, who was a massive freshman for UConn this past season, he will return to Storrs, play another season for Dan Hurley. So big news out of UConn. We'll get his thoughts on all of that at 4 o'clock. We also had some spring games over the weekend around college football, so we'll talk some spring football with David Cobb. 4:30, really excited for this. Sports agent Jimmy Sexton going to join us to talk the NFL draft as we're counting down the days. And Brett, ESPN even counting down to the second of the NFL draft. We are currently 75 hours, 43 minutes, and 25 seconds away from the NFL draft. So we are starting to move in that direction. But Jimmy Sexton going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about this draft, his draft memories, just a lot of NFL draft talk with the agent Jimmy Sexton. 4:45, we'll get to big number of the day. 5 o'clock, DeMichael Cole. He'll join us to talk some Grizzlies and the NBA. At that point, maybe we'll have news on where that second Grizzlies pick in the first round will be, as all of those tiebreakers being decided earlier today. But the news is going to drop at some point this afternoon. So we'll talk Grizzlies with DeMichael. We'll also talk the NBA and the playoffs with him. 5:30, we'll get to what's trending. And at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Moe's Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. The Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo, it's going on right now through May 10th. 7 manufacturers are fighting for your business in the battle of the brands. Hot tubs starting at $34.99 with swim spa starting at just $16.99. Mention this ad and receive a free cover lift with your spa purchase. So head out to Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
He's Brian, I'm Brett. We're Sports Time. Our producer is Landon Schmidt, and we're live and local and with you until 6 o'clock. We want you to be a part of our show by texting or calling 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line. Our guests will appear on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. Always live and local from our Family Leisure Studios. In this hour, brought to you every day by the great people at Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. You can drive in luxury and confidence knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they want you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500, and you'll be looking and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the safe luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it is the NBA playoffs as it got started over the weekend. It really started Friday night with the play-in, the Magic win, the Suns win. Not great for the Grizzlies as they were hoping to get another lottery pick. But we will find out at some point this afternoon or this evening where that second first round pick will be. But the action in the first round was a lot of fun. It started Saturday morning, Raptors and Cavs. It went all the way through the night where we got our first actual on TV, nationally televised game that night with the Rockets and Lakers. We learned just about an hour or so before that game that Kevin Durant wouldn't play for the Rockets, and the Lakers got that win at home.
Who bumped into him in practice?
That's a really good question.
It's a good way to walk home.
No, it really is. So a fun Saturday that turned into a fun Sunday where we thought that all of these were going to be lopsided. It was the teams that made it out of the play-in playing the top two seeds in each conference. But we got the upset yesterday afternoon with the Magic getting a 112-101 win over the Pistons. So now the Pistons, the number one seed, look up and they're in a hole after game one. So really interesting stuff there. But also, I have to bring up the NHL playoffs over the weekend because last night, one of the greatest hockey games. Now, I've only been watching hockey for
a couple of years. No question.
It was by far the greatest hockey game I've ever watched. I think one of the greatest hockey games maybe ever. That game was
insane. Buffalo down 2-0
and Boston.
And dead.
That's right. They were out of it completely. I mean, that game was over.
That building.
Oh, it was awesome.
It separated itself from anything in sports all weekend, didn't it?
No, it absolutely did. I mean, they were ready for some sort of playoff momentum.
Well, they're due
in
Buffalo.
They certainly are due, and they came out to support. It was about halfway through the third period.
Did they jump through tables at the hockey?
I don't know if they jumped through tables at the hockey. They had a bunch of people outside that couldn't get into the building,
so maybe they were jumping through some tables.
It did look a lot of fun, but down 2-0 about halfway through the third period. They get one in. They add a second a couple minutes later, then a third, then a fourth. It was really incredible stuff to get a 4-3 win over Boston. Just had to make sure we made note of that because it really was a fun Sunday night out in Buffalo.
Bryant, great take. You could feel it coming through your TV.
You really could.
That it mattered, and those people wheeled them back because
sure it
was 2-0 and dead.
It was.
And kind of going to be the same old Buffalo story.
Yep. No, it was awesome.
Instead, the rockiness arena, maybe I've seen this year in sports.
Anything. Incredible. It was incredible. It was awesome to watch.
It really was. My top story, 8 NBA first round games over 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. Average winning margin was around 17 points. 8 teams are up 1-0, but a few surprises. First time the Lakers have gone up 1-0 since beating Golden State in the Western Conference semifinals after the 2023 regular season. Before that, And they went on and got swept by Denver. Also that year, they started 1-0 against the Grizzlies in that first round. That was the day that DB ran his big mouth at the King. And look what it got us. Orlando up 1-0 over Detroit in a surprise. Most people had Orlando maybe not even squeezing into the play-in, not getting into the playoffs. And the coach may be fired by now. They're up 1-0. And Detroit looked more the younger team than Orlando did.
They sure did. And that's now a hole, and we'll see what the Pistons can do to climb their way out of it.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, it is the Memphis Tigers. As the news just breaking as we started the show that Aaron Bradshaw is going to enter the transfer portal. He waited up until pretty much the last minute. The transfer portal closes tomorrow night, but he waited until a day before to announce that he was going to enter the transfer portal. So that means Memphis, as long as nothing crazy happens, and it doesn't feel like it will, Memphis will enter the 2026-27 season with two players coming back from last year's team. We've talked about it. They've added three guys out of the transfer portal, three high school recruits, and now they've got a couple of guys lined up for visits this week. Tylik Weeks is on campus right now, a guy that averaged nearly 20 points per game last season, was a top 40 scorer in the country at Southern Miss. He's on campus today. Corliss Williams will be on campus tomorrow. He was at North Alabama the last 2 years, originally started his college career at LSU before transferring to a couple of places. So maybe in the next couple of days, Memphis can add a couple more players to this roster. But so far, they've been interested in a lot of people. They've been conducting a lot of Zoom calls with these guys to try to show some interest and get those conversations started. And now it feels like this week, starting to bring guys on campus with 7 spots to fill now. We'll see what they do over this next week.
My not top story, first place for the Cardinals in the all-important loss column after the Brooms were out in Houston, and I really don't know how. Here are the rankings today, this morning, in the National League, 10th in batting. I'm sitting here thinking, well, they pitched pretty well so far, right?
Yeah.
No, wrong. No. 13th in pitching.
No.
Well, they've defended the Cardinal way.
Sure.
Good, solid. 11th in fielding.
Wow.
But first in the National League East.
That's
and that's
right.
All that matters, as predicted.
Of course.
That I had. Still haven't played a National League Central team yet. And the schedule looks like the Cardinals have joined the American League. They're 9-6 against the American League, 4-2 against the National League. And only two National League teams they faced have been the Mets and Washington.
Yeah.
In the SEC world, you know what we'd say about them?
What's that?
They ain't played nobody.
No, they haven't. Oh, boy. Mets in serious trouble right now. They just keep losing. I mean, they cannot buy a win right now. So we'll see if that turns the other side. Maybe they can start picking up some wins this week, but has not been good for the Mets. But that'll do for top and not top story of the day. Let's get to our first break. And when we return, we're talking the NBA, talking about all the playoff action from over the weekend. We do that next on Sports Time.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, the NBA playoffs got started on Saturday, but it was after the final night of the play-in tournament. It started Friday night with the Hornets on the road against the Magic, and it felt like the way the Magic have been trending to end the season after what we saw in their first game of the play-in tournament, the way that the Hornets scored and played well without a couple of their best scorers providing much offense, especially three-point shooting. It felt like the Hornets could beat the Magic, but no. It was all Orlando all night, 121-90. And really, the story of that game, and really the story of both games for the Hornets, Con Knipple in his rookie season, as good as the regular season was, just wasn't able to step up in postseason play.
He had the struggles for sure, and a young team. I think they still probably overachieved for the year.
Absolutely.
And would, if when they do the big deep dive on the year, I think they'll be very pleased with the year.
We talked about their win total being at, 25.5, 26.5?
Yeah.
I mean, they blew through expectations, I think.
And the direction that the franchise is going in, and it's been it's been in the wilderness more times than not. But Orlando, who saw? I mean, a lot of people thought, the Q word, that they would quit and fire the coach and locker room turmoil. So much for that. It was not as close as that 31-point margin. They just put it on them. The second game wasn't close, and now the stories out there of was that it for Steve Kerr, and today Draymond Green said it sure looked and felt like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you saw it towards the end of that game. He was doing the hugs, and it felt like kind of a
goodbye.
We've done this, and kind of this is the end of the road. But you're right. It was the Suns 111-96 win over the Warriors. Steph Curry wasn't great in that game. Jalen Green, another awesome performance for him. So he had 36.6 rebounds and 4 assists. And if this is the end for Steve Kerr, it certainly brings into question Draymond and Steph. Will they want to play a couple more years under a different coach, or do they?
The answer is yes.
Because
what they can be paid.
Well, certainly, but I mean they've both made a lot of money, and you never know. But I do think they'll stick around, play a couple more years. But what will that look like? I think they've got some nice pieces that it hopefully won't have to be a full rebuild for them. That they can kind of use a couple of the pieces they already have to try to maybe stick around where they're at and maybe try to improve. But the Suns looked good in that game, but then turned around in their first game in the playoffs, and not so much. Of course, when you're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, hard to ask for much. That Thunder team looked like they're going to make another big run. 119-84, the Thunder beat the Suns, so we'll see what they can do. But the end of the season for the Warriors and the Hornets, and certainly feels like a big offseason for Golden State.
It had been the end of the dynasty, and it was one of the great dynasties largely out of the draft room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And should give a lot of people, including Memphis, hope that it can start there. They added pieces for sure, sure. through the years. They had Kevin Durant. That's a big piece.
Mm-hmm.
And others. But it started in the draft room, and it started with Steph Curry mm-hmm. and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, and they had a lot of winning and a lot of fun with that formidable dynastic run.
Yeah, and, I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit. We talked about it last week. You don't have to like them, but I do think
– I didn't.
There is a certain –
I did early.
Sure.
Then they that's became the evil empire.
That's how a lot of them are. But, you know, I think there is a sort of respect that you have to give them for what they were able to do and what they were able to accomplish. So it feels like a really, really big offseason for them. We'll see how they enter next season. But on Saturday, I thought four really fun games. It started with the Cavs getting a win over the Raptors, the Nuggets over the Timberwolves in what might have been one of the game of the day in the NBA. Knicks 113-102 win over the Hawks. Then it ended with the news, we mentioned it in the first segment, coming out just an hour or so before tip-off that Kevin Durant would not play for the Rockets, and the Lakers get a 107-98 win over Houston. Now they go with a 1-0 lead and still, you know, at their home court, so we'll see what they can do as this series continues.
Three of those games, Denver over Minnesota, mm-hmm. the Knickerbockers over Atlanta, and the Lakers over the Rockets, all up 1-0. Which one do you think had the biggest kind of behind-the-scenes sigh of relief of, glad to be up 1-0?
I think it was the Lakers. You know, I don't know if we all picked.
Because who they did it without.
Sure. And I think, you know, we all picked the Lakers or the Rockets in this series. I know I did.
Group lock fest.
Yeah. And so, you know, for them to be at home, and it seems like a lot of people were picking the Rockets to beat the Lakers in advance. You know, I think there was certainly some pressure of don't go down 1-0 at home. And so for them to go out, obviously, you know, it helped not having to go against Kevin Durant, but to go out and get it done at home. You know, we'll see when Luka's able to return. He'll certainly provide a massive boost for them. But they looked good in that game, and so we'll see where they go from here. But I think, you know, they're the team. They probably won't admit it. You know, certainly LeBron won't admit it. But I do think after that game, a lot of people are going, okay, we got to win. We're in control now of this series, and we can feel good moving forward.
Kendrick Perkins on Hot Take TV, he said that he really doesn't need it, but that if LeBron James engineers this series win, shut down GOAT, great best player of all time, it goes to him.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know if I want to say that. I think it would be really impressive if they can win the series. But I don't know if that completely wraps up the GOAT status. I think you got to do a little more. But I mean, I think he's already kind of in the GOAT status. But yeah, we'll see.
He is, and game two of that will be tomorrow night, late tomorrow night. Boy, our friends at Channel 5.
Yeah.
They've got some late-night news for them the next two nights, don't they?
They definitely do. Yeah, they definitely do. NBC, with all these games, they had the two late-night games last night. And
we could be getting the 5-10 and 92-day forecast at about 12:45.
No, we definitely could.
The next two nights.
Yeah, NBC with three straight
nights. 45-day forecast. That's the one I watched.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. No, that is the important one. But,
that's the go-to one, yeah.
Yeah, no, that one is very important. But speaking of NBC, the late game last night on NBC, Spurs with a 111-98 win over the Trailblazers. And I've seen, I forgot who I saw say it earlier, but say that the atmosphere and the shirts and different things for the Spurs looked very gimmicky. I thought the exact opposite. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really, really cool. And it feels like they are awakening the monster of San Antonio with this new group of guys.
But Portland's gone budget conscious. If you read and followed that story and what's going on in New Orleans, widespread organizational basketball and business and marketing, tons of firings. Mm-hmm. You say layoff, but you don't have a job to come back to. That means you've been fired.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's out there, and you're seeing multiple
layoff
teams
means
do
you
it.
Can come back in two or three
weeks. Sure, yeah. I didn't really have much of a problem with the two-way guys not going on the road to San Antonio.
I have none. You know. Why is it taking so long for the NBA to get budget conscious? I know with friends with the Grizzlies what the travel party now, as opposed to the travel party just 10 years ago, what it looks like. I can't believe more aren't looking. Anybody that goes anywhere knows that anything above the Fleabag hotel pricing right now is out of control.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
it's
just insane everywhere. And they're getting it. Guess what? When you're getting it, you're not going down.
No.
You're not going down for any reason.
Mm-mm, no. No, you're not.
And, and the NBA's not staying at Fleabag Hotel.
No. We've been told they only they require the best of the best when they are on the road.
And they should, but I can see why you got new ownership in Portland. I will bet either the new owner or paid somebody. Mm-hmm. Give me a complete examination of the books, and they hired a Doge person to go in, and, sure. And they're doging excess. And I've joked the whole sports world. Can't we just get along on 91 video people on every trip?
Yeah. We can cut a couple of spots on the trip, I think. And yeah, there's a lot of video people. There's a lot of staffers, a lot of guys on that second row of the bench.
Tons of diet, nutrition, tons of health and welfare type, tons of trainers. I mean, do you really need all that? And that's what the guy at Portland is doing. And even went frugal on the t-shirts. Mm-hmm. They're waving no towels and t-shirts in Portland,
which is kind of surprising. I do like that aspect of playoffs, especially a team like Portland that really, it's been a while since they've been in this position. But I would have loved for the two ways to be able to go on the road, but it didn't. I didn't have the same reaction as some people have had. But I do love what the Spurs are building. It feels like they've gotten a European in to be the star, and he's bringing a lot of the European basketball culture to San Antonio, which might not be a good thing for the rest of the league.
And that the story's out of New Orleans. I mean, they're cutting into muscle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're letting go of a lot of people.
Yeah, no, they are, and so you're seeing budget cuts, and obviously New Orleans, they have a lot of issues.
But when you shoot that flare, when you go budget conscious, it says to everybody else, stay away from them.
Mm-hmm. No, it does.
To that young person that may be sitting there with a resume on a desk at two or three different NBA places, when they call, go no thanks, I'll go somewhere else. Or where it really matters, you get to free agency and to coaching. I don't want to work for frugal.
Yeah, no, I mean it's not a great look. And so the issues that that they have down in New Orleans, it's a laundry list of issues. And so they've got to figure it out. And obviously they won't have a first round draft pick this year. It sounds like they're going to try to trade into the first round. But the issues are long in New Orleans, and I don't know when they will ultimately
figure
them out.
It's been long.
Yeah,
doesn't it start with Zion?
I mean, I think it's certainly deeper than just Zion, but Zion certainly, his lack of availability.
He's the picture of it.
Sure. And I hate it because, he's really good when he's on the court. It's just the problem of, he's not able to be out there nearly enough. So got three games tonight in the NBA. It'll start at 6:00. Raptors, Cavaliers, game two, Cleveland with a 1-0 series lead in that one. 7:00, Hawks and Knicks on NBC. And then the final game of the night, 9:30, Timberwolves and Nuggets also on NBC. So we'll see all three home teams winning the first game of those series. We'll see if they can all make it 2-0 or if we've got an upset in store.
Who's your best chance for a win, 1-1?
I'd say the Timberwolves. They looked really good in that first game. Looked like they would maybe be able to pull an upset in game one, and just Nuggets were better down the stretch and were able to secure that win. So, a 7.5-point line. It's the second biggest on the night, but I think Minnesota could steal one on the road tonight. And maybe the Hawks. I picked the Hawks to win the series. It would be huge if they could steal one tonight at MSG. I thought they played well against the Knicks, but I think those are the two games far more likely than Raptors over the Cavaliers.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching the NBA tonight. And everybody, if you're ready to see the whole country in a new All-Star Chevrolet this summer, with a place to start that summer road trip, is an Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet, the new Traverse, the Tahoe, a Suburban with a third row seat, new Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings. For those trips, financing as low as 1.9. Go big with the new HD Silverado and make no payment for 90 days. Your good credit deserves it, and you get it from Drew DePriest and his team. Military first responders, you always get that instant extra $500 bonus. Nobody beats All-Star Chevy certified and pre-owned selection. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van you want is ready to get to work for you and for your business that you're working so hard in. And all the certified or pre-owned Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Equinox, and Corvettes, all in one place on Highway 78, Kraft Goodman Road, right down Highway 78, first exit into Mississippi, and you're there. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, bring it to All-Star in Olive Branch and get the most money back for it first thing tomorrow morning. Together, let's drive to All-Star. Don't miss the work or vacation event going on now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet. And for more information, you can always go to allstarautogroup.com.
Well, we need to get to another break. When we return, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. It's a fun weekend around the baseball world. We'll also talk about the slate of games for today. We do that next on Sports Time.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, we've already got one final in Major League Baseball after the Red Sox got to an early start today with the Boston Marathon going on. They start at 10 a.m. this morning, an 8-6 victory over the Tigers. So the Tigers dropped to 12-11 on the year. The Red Sox improved to 9-13. It's been a slow start for them, but that got the day started. We won't have another game until about 5 o'clock when the Astros and Guardians play. Obviously, a more limited slate of games tonight being a Monday, but some fun games, and it comes after a really fun weekend of Major League Baseball.
It was, and look at the Cincinnati Reds. They're having a lot of fun. They're really in first, but not in the all-important loss column. But they'll take it and got the weekend sweep. And did you see how they had the win, the final strike of the game yesterday, bottom of the 10th? And I don't know if this is an original Chip Carey line or if he's using it from other people, but it sounded original. You know what they're calling the runner that goes out for extra innings to second?
I don't.
The Manfred Man.
Is that right? Yeah. I haven't heard that. Wow.
Yeah.
I've always just heard people call him the Ghost Runner.
Chip Carey and others are
Manfred Man.
Yeah, which is a good 70s band, Manfred Man's Earth Band, but
not familiar
it was
a 70.
And there's no need to be.
Yeah, well,
they weren't that good.
I'll take
there's
your
no
word
need to
for
be.
It.
But 7-4, bottom of the 10th, the Twins have base runners everywhere, and it's a pitch that the umpire calls a ball, the catcher challenges, strike, ABS
wow.
rings him up, walk
interesting.
Off.
Interesting. Yeah, I
so we wonder, do we want a World Series ending like that? Well, yeah. We had a game in April in like that.
Yeah, and I think far different reaction if it happens in the World Series than a random game in April.
We'll be Twins Reds in the World Series.
No. But yeah, I don't get the Reds on TV, so which makes me mad because I do like this Reds team, but I haven't been able to watch them. But looks like they've been playing well. They're off to a good start. They've got some really fun young pitchers. Obviously, Rhett Lauder going to go
manager.
Tonight. A really, really good manager, and it seems like the bats have been working. So, three straight wins for them and 14-8 on the season. It's a pretty good start for the Reds. It felt like last season a lot of people thought that they could kind of make that jump, and they struggled, but maybe this is the year that they can make that jump and be a successful team out of the Central.
They're in Tampa. Well, they're in St. Pete to play the Tampa Bay Rays, and the bridge and everything that goes with that goofy stadium. The Reds will have more fans there because the Reds stranglehold on that area with training forever at Plant City. They're a much more known entity in that market than the goofy Rays.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game tonight. We mentioned Reds 14-8. The Rays, not a bad start to the season, 12-9 on the
year.
Two
great managers.
Rhett Lauder going tonight for the Reds. He's really, really fun, young pitcher, spent his collegiate career at Wake Forest. So it should be a fun game starting a little after 5:30, about 5:40 or so. So that will be a game to watch tonight. But a lot of fun games tonight. You've got, you know, Phillies and Cubs. Phillies off to a slow start, 8-13 to start the year. The bats have just been really, really cold against a Cubs team that just wrapped up a really nice weekend against the Mets. They're at 12-9. That'll be another fun game later tonight.
And the Braves in D.C. to play the Nationals. Braves 15-7.
Yeah, no, it's been a great start.
It
has been, and it felt like going into the season. You know, last year, just so many injuries that stacked up for them. It really felt like they couldn't get into a groove of the season. You know, we knew the star pitcher, star center fielder out, but you know, throughout that pitching rotation, a lot of guys injured throughout the year. Some other pieces in the field injured, and so coming into this year, pretty healthy, and they've been off to a really, really nice start. We'll see if that can continue against the Nationals team. I know they're 10-12, but they've been playing some good baseball to start the season. On the road for the Braves, that'll be tough tonight. But Bryce Elder has been a really, really hot start the year, a .77 ERA. So should be a fun one tonight.
Talk is pretty cheap in April because it's just so much baseball to play. I mean, almost literally the whole the whole schedule. But for the Mets, are we approaching? It's getting late early.
Well, I mean, it's not a good spot to be in, you know, especially when you look at some of the other teams in that division, you know, the way the Braves have started the season. You know, it feels like, you know, it's been a slow start for the Phillies, but you got to imagine that they'll figure it out at some point with those type of names in the lineup. And so you don't want to get too far behind, and 11 straight losses. I mean, that's just feels like it's bad all around. And you know, that kind of starts creeping into bad vibes in the clubhouse.
But that proverbial 19 out of 22 erases all this.
Sure.
They can do that.
I think so, but they've really shown nothing.
I think so. That's it. I think so.
You know, there's just so many new players on this team.
As I said, talk is cheap.
Yeah.
Talk is so cheap. I texted a Dodger friend of mine this morning. I said, Cardinals only have two less wins than the Dodgers.
How about that?
And about $300 million less in payroll.
Well, that's a really good point. And so who knows? But, I mean, you just look at this.
The response was, I hope that made you feel better.
Well, I hope it does. But, Brett, we're trying to be positive. You've been Mr. Positive, so I'm trying to remain positive for you. But
So how have the Cardinals done it? I mentioned in the National League, 10th in batting. 13th in pitching, 11th in fielding. Have they done it?
Yeah, I mean they've been able to answer in some really clutch spots. The times that they have really hit the ball well and come up with some big pitches and big moments. It's really kind of clicked for them at the perfect time. Now, will that continue? You look at some of the teams they've played. I think you've caught some teams at the right time. Will that continue? I really don't know.
Haven't played a team yet over 500.
No, and so that's been huge. I think that could change. But you look at this week and next week. Miami, you could find some success against them maybe on the road. Seattle this weekend. Seattle's been really, really bad
for
the season, and then at Pittsburgh, so maybe you can continue this winning through April, and then I think it gets a lot tougher in May. You got the Dodgers, you got Milwaukee, you got San Diego. It really turns up once you get to May for the Cardinals.
Yeah, it does. Four next week in Pittsburgh. That would be fun if that's for first place.
Sure, it would be a lot of fun. And Pittsburgh, they're trying to figure things out right now, and do they have the right guys up? Obviously they've got the young 19-year-old who is off to a up and down start to start his professional career. So you've got two young rookies, rookie infielders in that matchup. So that'll be a really fun one to watch next week.
What would those two Rockies win Saturday and Sunday paid you money line?
Oh, it would have paid really well. Man, Rockies are playing good baseball right now. They've been fun to watch, and I don't think it will keep up, but for the weekend it was a lot of fun, and they'll have another game tonight against the Dodgers, and we'll see if they can get it done. I don't think they'll get it done tonight, but they've been a fun team to watch so far. There's been a couple of really fun teams to watch that have when you look at their record, they've kind of been struggling. The White Sox, what they have in Murakami, the guy they got from Japan, he was awesome over the weekend, and he's been a fun story for them. So there's some good baseball being played with even the teams that are kind of struggling with records.
Cardinals game notes yesterday mentioned that the Astros manager, Joe Pineda, was here in Memphis with the Redbirds for 8 games in 2004.
Interesting.
I got nothing.
How about that?
I'm sorry, Joe. I don't remember you.
You didn't tell me he was going to be a great big league manager?
I missed my chance. Well, now, you're going to be a big league manager someday, Joe.
Maybe you did and you didn't notice it. You know?
No, I know I didn't.
That's too bad.
I missed my chance.
That's right.
It would have counted.
Oh, an opportunity missed. But, hey, that's what happens. But we need to wrap up this first hour, get to another break. And when we return, talking some college football and college basketball, David Cobb from CBS Sports. He joins us next.